God. It's all about Him who created all things, and everything is done for our blessings. But we get it all twisted up. And the problem is today that the selfishness of our lives seeks to control us. If it's not going my way, then I'm not happy. If it's not going my way, if I can't have my way, then I'm not going at all. The challenge is that you and I need to deal with our pride that stand in the way of God bringing us through into victory. And if you and I let pride take hold of us and continue to rule us and to reign over us, it will bring destruction. And you know, I looked at the word destruction, and right in the middle of the word destruction is the letter U. It will bring destruction to you. If you let your pride stand in the way of God working in your life, it will bring destruction to you. Not only you will it bring destruction to, but it will be a destroyer of families, a destroyer of friendships, a destroyer of relationships, a destroyer of love in the world as we know it today. And as we know today, the world is full of itself, full of its own pride. And yet so many times it leads to destruction. And when we let pride stand in the way, we begin to see ourselves being destroyed. Right in the center of Christ, the Anointed One, is I. Right there, Christ, you and me. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. We're connected together. He was raised from the dead. That means we're raised from the dead. He was crucified on a cross. We were crucified with Him that day. Hallelujah. He came to set us free. He died that we might live. He died for our diseases that we might not be sick. He died because of the separation between the man and God so that we could have a connection back with God. Died so that all of that, all of us, could come together in the presence of the Father and enjoy our Heavenly Father's presence. That's what it's all about. So many people portray God as being an ogre. He's going to get you and you do something wrong. Well, if you look at the Lord Jesus and you look at the life that He lived on the earth, was He out to get people for doing wrong? He wasn't. He says He wept over Jerusalem when He saw their sin and the way they were going. The same heart that was in Jesus, that same passion and desire that was in Jesus, came from God Himself, very God. And God is crying out for the nations. Because the nations, everything on the earth, every human being has come from God. And He's crying out. He sees us in our sins and He weeps. Because He knows the destruction and the devastation that it brings on nations and on individuals. Christ came to restore you and me back into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, when we sinned, there was a great gulf between you and God. And then suddenly that day, Jesus came and He died on that cross. And He spanned that great divide. And He reached out for the hand of God. And He reached out to the hand of man and said, come on, we can come together. I've restored the connection. I've restored the relationship. I'm bringing back the freedom that there is in Jesus. I'm bringing back the freedom that God intends you to have. So Christ stretched out His hands that you and I might enter into the presence of our Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things. Not with fear and trembling, but with a respect of this awesome and mighty God, that with His breath He could destroy you. With His breath He can breathe life into you. See, God really is the giver of life. In my Bible it says Satan comes to steal, kill and destroy. Jesus came and said, I have come that you can have life. He didn't talk about dying. He talked about living. You see, He's a living Jesus today. The very thing about Jesus is living, not dying. You know, so you hear some folks, you know, I'm just dying to get to heaven. Well, I'm not. I'm not. I'm living to get to heaven. We don't talk about dying. We're living to get into the presence of God. In our worship time, we were entering in to the presence of a living God. We're entering into the presence of a God that gives life. That gives life with an abundance. That gives double portions. That when the enemy stole them from you, demand back a double portion at least. Sevenfold, it says, if you catch him. Oh, come on, bring it on. Have you noticed we talk about him, the Christ? Him, the one who loved us? Have you noticed what letter there is in the middle of him? It's the letter I. We're in him. That scripture, in Christ. He's in you, I'm in him. In him, we live and move and have our very existence because of him. And in him we have a destiny. In him we have a purpose. In him we have an eternal future in God. So many people forget that there is eternity for every one of us. For saint, for sinner, there is eternity. But just the big question is, where will you spend your eternity? Word of God says, choose you this day, Joshua said, who you will serve. Where will you spend eternity? When we choose Christ, it means that we surrender to him, that he is in me. Him in me. That's what him means. Christ, him in me. Wow. Look at the person next to you, and if they know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can look at the Christ in them. Hey, have a look at somebody. He's in you. Jesus lives in you. He says in Christ we live and have our very being. Our very existence is in him. He lives. Jesus lives in you. Yeah. Jesus lives in me. Him in me. Him inside of me. Amen. That's it. Hallelujah. You see, we serve a living Saviour. We serve a living God. We don't worship idols of stone and wood and whatever else you can think of. But we serve a living God. He existed before all things. He was before all things. He is all things. Before the universe existed, God. God was there. The very Christ, the Anointed One, lives in each and every one of us. Him. Faith. If we are going to live a successful life in Christ and him in us, then our faith needs to make sure that the faith of God is in you. That the faith of God, the faith of Jesus, needs to grow and develop. When you came to Christ, you came through faith. Where did you get the faith from? I'll tell you. You got it from God. That was the first thing that you ever received from God, was faith to believe in Jesus Christ. Faith to realize that Christ is alive and that he died for you and for me. How do we develop our faith? One way of developing our faith is taking this book and begin to read it. Take some time out to put your iPhone away, put your computer away, turn the TV off, and feed yourself. Feed your spirit on the Word of God. Take some time out and spend time in His presence. For faith to grow, it's a process. Sometimes we find it hard and difficult to surrender some of our life to God. But Jesus died, He gave all of His life that He might take all of your life. He wants to take all of your sins. He wants to take all of your difficulties, all of your challenges, all of your problems, and he wants you to be free from them. God is looking for you and I to fully surrender. And as we fully surrender Him and we let faith begin to grow in our lives, because faith does grow. It might start off small, but as you and I draw closer to the Lord, as we spend more time in the Word of God, our faith should begin to expand. That we can believe God for a bigger step the next time. That we can believe God for a bigger healing than the one we've just seen. That we can believe God for big miracles. And we move forward step by step. And we trust God. But our faith has to grow. We shouldn't be praying, "If it be your will, O God." We need to know the will of God. We need to be in the Word of God to know the will of God. And pray it. Make that declaration. Align your faith. Jesus said, if you've got faith the size of a mustard seed, and that's a tiny seed, a tiny, tiny seed, you can hardly see it, and yet a tree grows from that tiny seed. You know, you get a packet of seeds, don't you? Have you ever seen a packet of seeds and you grow tomatoes from a packet of seeds? Yeah? You ever done that? No? You've never lived, girl, have you? Obviously, you know. Or peppers. I grew some peppers a few years ago. These tiny little white seeds, grew them in the house. They came up, the plant came up and came up and came up, and I got plants this high. Got big peppers on them. Amazing. You know something? That pepper did not look a bit like the seed. If I show you the seed of a pepper or a tomato and say, "What is it?" you just go, "It's a seed." It's the seed of what? When you put that seed in the right environment, it will grow. You can grow flowers from the right type of seed. You can grow vegetables from the right type of seed. But have you noticed? If you go to the garden centre, all these seeds come in packets. And they have pictures on the front. Just to let you know what it will look like. Yeah? Are you sure? Oh, you've seen packets of seeds then? Yeah, that's good. And so these packets of seeds. But if you keep that packet of seeds, and I've done this. I've had a packet of seeds and I've kept it in my garden shed for years upon years upon years. And you know, I have gone in that garden shed and there is no plants in the garden shed. There are just packets of seeds. Now wait a minute. Why are these seeds not suddenly become tomatoes or peppers or... And they've been there for years. Wrong environment. Wrong environment. You know, you just don't go and think, "I'll buy some seeds and we'll get some tomatoes there." You know, put them on the shelf. You know, but if I get a seed, love, there you are. There's tomatoes there. Be alright. A few weeks' time, we'll have some tomatoes. No, you won't. You're going to have to do a little bit more. You're just going to have to take a little bit of time on this. Amen. If you want to see tomatoes. You're going to have to get some compost. You're going to have to get some pots. And you're going to have to mix it all up and plant these seeds. And you're going to have to water them and keep watering them. And then one day you're going to get tomatoes. No, it don't take long. But you know, if you want to get victories in Christ Jesus, if you want to see Jesus defeating the enemy in your life, then you're going to have to mix some soil. You're going to have to take this Word of God and start mixing it and potting it inside you. You've got to start stuffing the Word of God inside you. You've got to start gorging on it. It won't make you sick. God said, "I want to give you a double portion." Hallelujah. You're not careful, you go out to the Nepalese house and visit, and next thing you come out, you've had a double portion. Hallelujah. I didn't tell her, but I went to somebody's house a few weeks ago, and they said, Would you like something to eat? And my answer was, "No, thank you. Just a little drink. I've got to go." Tea's on the table. Minutes later, with rolls, spring rolls on them. And I'm like, "You're going to get me shot. I have to go home now and pretend I have had nothing to eat." I managed it. But I didn't have a sweet afterwards, let me tell you. But you see, God has said, "Come on, take my word, absorb it, let it give you life." And when you put the seed in the right soil, the seed and the soil together, suddenly there is a reaction. There is a reaction that goes on in there, chemical, physical reaction that goes on, and suddenly the seed begins to release the life that is in it. When we come to Christ, He plants a seed of eternal life in us. When we ask Christ into our lives, He comes and He pops the seed of eternal life right inside us. But now we have to do something about the seed. Don't keep it in a packet. Begin to mix it with the Word of God. Begin to mix it with prayer and the Holy Spirit. And do you know what's going to happen? Something is going to bubble up. Something is going to happen. Christ, the Anointed One, is going to become visible in you and I. And He said to us, you know, go out into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, do all of that. And as you do that, feeding yourself on the Word, you'll see Me moving in power. You know, the world is looking for Jesus. The world's looking for Jesus. Where is Jesus today? Where is Jesus today in us? So if the world wants to find Jesus, they should be able to look at you and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The world is looking at you and saying, where is this Christ? Where is this Saviour? Where is He? Where is this God? You can turn around and say, He lives, and He lives in me. And the world wants to be able to look at you and say, yes, He's in you. I see Him. I see Him. And then they want to reach out and touch Him. They want to grasp hold of the truth and the reality of a living Saviour. And He lives in each and every one of us. Get on fire. Stir up the fire that is within you of faith, and let God begin to move in our lives. Some of us so often overthink things. Well, what about this, and what about that, and what if this goes wrong, and what if that goes wrong, and, you know, maybe, have you seen what's in the middle of think? It's the eye. It's our mind. We overthink things. I mean, we could sit down and we could say, okay, let's consider the feeding of 5,000 men, women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Let's think about it. How can we do this that everybody will have enough to eat, and yet when we bring the 5 loaves and 2 fish back, we'll have multiplied them into more than 12 times the amount that we started with? Okay. Now let's see, how are we going to do this? Can you explain, can you think it through and give me the explanation of how this happened? There is no logical explanation. You can think as long as you want. You know, we could all get together, we could put our heads together, and we could just simply, you know, just there go, got an idea. No. Can't be like that, can it? No. I have no idea. I could think on that topic for the rest of my life, but I cannot give you a natural answer. Do you know why? There isn't one. Because, you see, it wasn't a natural phenomenon. It was supernatural. This was God at work through His Son Jesus. And the same Christ that did that miracle, He lives in you and He lives in me. That same Christ, that same Anointed One. We have to step up in faith. We have to rise and say, come on, let's step up and believe God. That same Jesus who healed the sick sent His disciples out and said, you go and do it. You do exactly what I've done. Don't think about it. Don't try to reason this out. Don't try to think, how do I heal this person? You don't. Only God. God is the healer. We just need to learn to receive His anointing. And then just carry that anointing wherever we go. And just begin to pour it onto the sick. Pour it onto those that are in need. And we just begin to pour out that healing virtue. Don't try and think it out. You can't work out where God exists. I mean, most of us can't work out how electricity works. Most of you drive cars. You don't know how they work. You've got an idea, but beyond that, most folk jump in, they have a key, and they plug it in and push a button, and off they go. Yeah. The other day I was working on a motorcycle and there's a fueling problem, so I fitted this little device. It had three cables. It was 50 centimetres by about 20 centimetres by about 30 centimetres. This little black box. Just plugged it in and taped it all up and took it out for a run yesterday. Made a difference.
Wow.
How does it work? No idea. I decided I wasn't even going to try and think about how it worked. Because I initially started to read the explanation on how it worked and they forget it. It don't really matter. As long as it works, that's fine. Don't try and overthink God. It's faith that we walk with, not thoughts. In Colossians, well, first of all, let's have a look. We'll do the Romans one as usual. Romans chapter 12. And he says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let your mind be renewed, refreshed. How do we refresh it? We refresh it with the Word of God. The Word of God renews our thinking. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about the fanatic in the attic and the fella in the cellar. You know, your mind always works against God. Your mind is anti-God. That's why God doesn't speak to your mind. He speaks to your spirit. Because he knows your mind is at enmity with God. The world continually speaks to your mind. You know, maths. Oh, what a subject, Lord Jesus. Give her abilities. She's great at English. Hopeless at maths. Yeah? There you go. We pray that God will do something. Connect a few extra bits and pieces. Amen. But you see, our mind is continually being bombarded. The media is not reaching to your spirit, it's reaching to your mind. The Bible tells us that we are spirit, soul, mind, and body. And the media, the world, wants to control your mind, that your mind would control your body and take you to places where they want you to go. Simple. It's called advertising is one of them. They start to advertise and suddenly they say, you cannot manage without this product. Really? I've managed most of my life without that product. So why am I suddenly desperate that I need it now? Huh? Tell me. You've got to have the latest thing. It's nice to have gadgets at times, isn't it? You know, we all like gadgets, but don't let the gadgets take over. You know, I've got a new gadget today, you know. Put a light on, you see, and there you go. Good point. Great, isn't it? Press the button, things change. The only thing is there isn't a button that we can press to change you. Wouldn't that be great, you know? As soon as somebody walked in through the church, you just got your zapper out and you went, zap! You know, got them. That's it. They've changed. It's always when they walk out, somebody else will be out there with another zapper. Zap! You know, change them back. When God does it work, he does it work on you. And you stay connected with him. And don't let the devil come along and try to change you. Don't let the devil come along and sell you short of what God has for you. Don't let it happen. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is a mystery. How did you get saved? I've no idea. I put my hand up. I was in a meeting and I heard this man talking about Jesus, and all of a sudden my hand went up. And I'm like, next thing they said, come out to the front, and there I was. And I thought, how did I get here? It has happened to people. How did I get here? They were so anti-God, they were so antagonistic against God, there was no way that I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And the next thing, they're putting their hand up. The next thing, they're going to the front of the church, they're giving their life to Jesus, and they're crying. Because the presence of God has come upon them. And is about the process of changing them. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more mighty than when the presence of God comes upon somebody and they begin to feel the very presence of a living God. The holiness and yet the love of God, and It brings tears. And you know there and then, it's a true experience. They're being touched by a living God. They're being touched by the very presence of the Creator of the universe. God is reaching down into their lives and beginning the process of removing every sickness, every disease, and every sin, and every torment, and every temptation. And He's there to begin that process within each and every one of us. But the devil wants to stop. Don't let the devil stop you, because you and I, we have an inheritance. And look there, the inheritance, it's for you. There's an I right into the middle of it. I have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. I tell you what, the inheritance that you have with the devil is garbage. It's eternal damnation and torment. And yet, the inheritance that you and I have in Christ Jesus, it is for you. I have got an inheritance. Have you? Are you in the middle of that inheritance there? That's me. That's me. Is that you? I have got an inheritance. Because Jesus loved me. God sent His Son for me. Did He send His Son for you? People speak, donkeys nod. Yeah, that's better. When we speak, we declare to spiritual principalities and powers that what we believe, and we declare it, Jesus died for me, and I, the real I, now has a real inheritance in Christ Jesus. Me, I have an inheritance in Christ. Have you got that inheritance in Christ? Yes. Don't get too excited about it. We're billionaires in God. Don't need any money to change hands. God just does it. I have spent thousands and hundreds of thousands and probably millions, and I've never had the money. God has provided. We've flown on airplanes all the way to America for £50.
Yeah.
£50 all the way. Oh, glory. I tell you what, God opened some doors. We went on a cruise. Cost us next to nothing. God provided. See, the word says, my God might provide all your needs. Is that what it says? Shall. It says, my God shall. Not maybe. Not He's thinking about it. He says, my God shall provide all that you need. Glory to Jesus. We serve a provider. Feeding of the 5,000. How did He do it? I've no idea. But He did it. And I know He did it. Do you know why? Because later on, the same crowd came back again. They came back again. He says, oh, you've come back again, have you? So the only reason you've come back this time is because I fed you last time. There's a message even in that. It goes a little bit like this. If you only get natural food from God, and you never take of that supernatural food, you'll always be hungry. But when you feed on the vine, you will be totally satisfied and being constantly fed on the finest of God's presence. Your inheritance, my inheritance. We have a great inheritance ahead of us. You have a great inheritance in front of you. What are you going to be? Are you going to be a great evangelist? Are you going to be a great healer? Are you going to be somebody who just sows the seeds and people come flocking to Jesus? Are you going to be the light of the world? God wants you to be His mouthpiece. God wants you to stand for Him and to stand up in His presence and not to be ashamed. You see, in Christ, there's no condemnation. There's no rejection in God. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we do stupid things. Because really, we listen to our dumb mind. But if we listen with the Spirit, our Spirit can know all things in God. And yet, how did it get to know it? It's not taught. It's given. It's connected. Your mind has to be taught. You have to teach a child how to do good. Yeah. Have you noticed that? The word that a child does not like, and I suppose the word that most of us don't like, particularly alcoholics or drug addicts, is the word no. It's like throwing a grenade. No. And suddenly, they rise up. A child, when you tell a child no, sometimes you see it do this. Start to stamp its feet. I mean, ah! Parents have them in the middle of the street. And you know, the child wanting something, and the mother says, no, you can't have it. And the child goes, ah, and stands there. And today society says, you can't hit the child. One way of stopping it from going, ah, you know, a quick, oh, now I'll give you something to, ah, for. I only said no. Sometimes we're a bit like that with God. We ask God, God, I want this, I want this, God, I want this. He says, it's not good for you. Ah! He said, no, you're not ready for it. Ah! Oh, no. Mark, chapter 12 and verse 7. This is what the devil wants to do. There's a story of the parable that Jesus tells of the vine grower, and the one who is the inheritor of the vine and the vineyard, he comes to see why they're not sending the profit for the produce. And the people who are working in the vineyard look and see him come and say, and they said, well, he's the one who's going to seek to rule over us. There are more of us than him, so why don't we kill him? And then we can have the vineyard for ourselves. When you kill the life giver, the vineyard dies. When you kill the one who provides life to the vineyard will die. When you put a plant in a pot and you starve it of the moisture that gives it life, it will die. Don't starve yourself of the Word of God. Feed yourself on the Word of God. Feed yourself on your inheritance in Christ Jesus. We need to do this. We have to do this because Christ and I are disciples. The Christ in you and you in Christ means you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus. You're a disciplined follower. It's the Christ in you, the Christ in me, and the you in Christ. I am in Christ. He said so. I'm not making this up. This is what the Bible says. I am in Christ. And as we're in Christ, we'll find the power and the blessing in our lives. What does it mean to be in Christ? It means to be walking daily with Him. If you've got a close friend, you usually speak to them every day. Yeah? A good friend, you speak to them every day. No? No. I find that if people have done something wrong, they avoid me. Can't understand that, can you? You don't know. That means obviously you've not done anything wrong then yet, have you? Pardon? Have you? Oh, jeez. Lord, we think. People avoid contact with you if they've done something wrong. Particularly if you think, oh, they know God. And God might tell them about what I've done. I don't want to hear what they've got to say, because God might use them to speak to me. I don't want to hear it. God's already told me what I've done wrong. Then sometimes He nudges somebody else and says, go and tell them. Go and have a word with them. Helen will tell you about that many years ago. God told me, go talk to Helen. Hated me, despised me. And then at 11:30 at night, God said to me, she's in the kitchen, go and talk to her now. And there she was. And we sat while the early hours of the morning in a cold, cold kitchen dining area. She decided she was going to tell me everything in her life that she'd done that was horrible. Because she thought by the time she'd finished telling me about herself, I would not want to have anything to do with her. Is that right? Do you know something? To this day, I cannot tell you what she told me. I do not have a recollection of one thing she actually told me. You see, I was on a mission. I was sent on a mission. And I was listening to one person. Now, one person was the Holy Spirit. And it didn't matter what garbage I got told. It didn't matter what bad things were said to me. I was listening to the Spirit of God. Because all the time, the only answer I've got is Jesus. The only answer I've got for every problem is Jesus in me. Jesus in you. It's the only answer to every problem we have. Every challenge we face, it's Jesus in you. That day I must have had nothing between. It just went in and out. In and out, and that was it. And I said, honestly, I have no recollection whatsoever. I know she told me, she said, I told you everything bad about me. And I went, really? Wow, no idea. You see, the devil tried a trick on me. Garbage in, garbage out. But you see, it was garbage in and it came out straight through. There was no absorption. No absorption. But you see, the world today continually bombards you, advertising. You need the latest iPhone. You've got to have it. I mean, this is the bee's knees. This is the thing you really want. Yeah, because be okay after a while, it blows up and sets on fire. You can light your own fires with iPhones. iPhone 7. Wow, it's a firebrand. Oh, it's really great, you know. And everybody rushes out and buys it. And somebody discovers the thing set on fire in my pocket, you know, set on fire on an aeroplane. It's like, wow, great stuff, you know. But it's advertising. The world knows that these things work. You and I need to be the advertising campaign for Jesus. We serve a living God. We serve a healing Jesus. We serve the one who sets captives free, who's a deliverer of those who are in bondage to sin, sickness and disease. And his name's Jesus. And no matter what your problem is, no matter what your difficulty is, I don't care what it's all about, I don't care what you've gone through, I know who can come through and bring you out, and it's Jesus. He's the one who will set you free. He's the one who will deliver you. He was the one who will break chains on your life. He's the one. He's the I that needs to be in your life. The Christ in you. Your inheritance. Be the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I'll finish off with this one. How often do we need to connect with him? Daily. In the middle of daily. I'm there. Are you there? We daily need to eat of the Word of God. We daily need to eat of the presence of God. Who's eaten today? Has anybody had food today? Good. Did you eat yesterday? Yes. Did you eat yesterday? Did you eat the day before? You see, for some reason we like to eat, don't we, Dylan? But do we eat daily on the Word of God? You see, you are spirit, soul and body. You fed your body today already. And when we go home today, guess what? I'm going to be fed. I'm going to have a meal when I go home. Glory to Jesus. It won't be Nepalese this time unless I go and visit the Nepalese brother and sister. And then I'll go and eat some nice Nepalese food. But daily, we feed ourselves. How many of you eat just once a day? No. How many of you eat just twice a day? No. Okay, try another one. How many of you eat three times a day? One, two, three, four. Okay, that's only four. So this is where, now we're going for it. How many of you eat four times a day?
Me.
Yeah, there you go. I eat four times a day. Breakfast, dinner, tea, and I've got to have some supper before I go to bed, you know. I got to feed the beast. Of course, the girls, they're all there trying to keep slim. Hold it in, girls, you know. Behave yourselves. God wants you to daily feed on him. You see, daily we feed ourselves of the natural things. And the people outside will feed their habits, whatever their habit is. It could be gambling. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be sex. They feed their habit. And they often feed it daily because they cannot get away from it. I'm addicted to food. Glory to God. Nice food as well. There are things that we get addicted to that will destroy our lives. But so many of us need to have a fresh addiction to the Word of God. A fresh addiction to the Word of God. Daily partaking of this Word. And as I daily partake of Jesus, then I shall be refreshed. I shall be strengthened. I shall be renewed. I shall be invigorated. I shall be ready to stand against the wiles of the devil and to be able to stand my ground and see the devil defeated every day in my life. Every day. It's a challenge. It's a battle. Every one of us will face temptations. Every one of us will face obstacles. But it's about letting him, he in me, the hope of glory. I in him, the hope of glory. And so together, let us continue to press in and use this Word of God. And let the Christ, let his very presence, let his faith rise within each and every one of us. And then let us receive our inheritance. Let us be the disciple and let us do it daily for his praise and for his glory. Amen.